It is Hold the Mayo Monday. Too soon? Hold the Mayo Monday, and Boomer Esiason is brought to you by McFarland Energy, the region's most dependable provider of home heating oil delivery and expert HVAC services at McFarlandEnergy.com. By Shaw's and Star Market, perfecting the art of fresh. By Town Fair Tire for the best prices on tires. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. And Boomer Esiason, brought to you by your New England Kubota tractor dealers. Hey, Boomer.
Oh, good morning. Thank God it's over. It's over for the Jets. It's over for the Giants. It's over for the Patriots. And now we can start looking forward as opposed to wallowing in this just misery.
Well, it's also over for Gerard Mayo. Is that fair or not?
Football's not fair, man. It's not fair. There have been a lot of guys that have gone down this path, and I feel bad for Gerard. I think that a rookie quarterback, a lot of moving parts, a questionable roster. I mean, no matter who was coaching this team, it was not going to be pretty. I felt like we have come from Cincinnati to now is such a long way, and so many things happened on that first game or at that first game in Cincinnati to where Gerard is now. So I certainly feel bad for him, but he knows that, you know, this is the life that he chose. And unfortunately, whatever happens internally, sometimes we are not aware of. So whatever really nudged Bob Kraft across the finish line here, I don't necessarily know that we'll ever know that what that answer is.
Well, it happened so quickly that we have been trying to ascertain whether the Krafts gave the code red with regard to losing that football game yesterday, and Gerard Mayo had one job and one job only and didn't do it. Do you think that's a possibility?
I don't think that's a possibility. You know what I think? I think what most other people think, and that is that Mike Vrabel's out there. And I think with the Jets interviewing Mike Vrabel last week, and we all know about the relationship between Vrabel and Bob Kraft. We saw that when he went into the Patriots Hall of Fame during the season when he was the coach of the Titans. I think that tells us all we need to know. I think all of us really think that Mike Vrabel is going to be the next head coach of the Patriots as we sit here right now this morning.
Is it a job that is still desirable? I mean, is it a job that somebody like Ben Johnson wants?
That would be an interesting one for me, but you have your rookie quarterback who is got through with the year, and I think he showed enough. I also know that you have a lot of money, probably the most money under the cap to be able to spend in free agency if you spend it right, and then you have a high draft pick. So I think all of the ingredients are there for the Patriots to come out of their funk now over the next 2 to 3 years, assuming that they select the right guy. I personally think, and I have no inside information on this, it's all speculation on my part, I think it's got to be Vrabel. I think this is why Bob Kraft would have went this quickly, this soundly, and this decisively.
Boomer, if you're in the position of the owner of this franchise, do you go down this road again where I think a lot of fans are like, well, they should really open up the search and look for candidates that could potentially be really qualified? Or do you go with, hey, we know Vrabel, we've seen what Vrabel's done, where there's some familiarity there? Or are you picking somebody completely new that has no connection to the Patriots at all, like you brought up Ben Johnson?
Yeah, I just kind of feel like, would Ben Johnson want the Patriots? Got to remember, Ben Johnson is going to be in high regard. He may have impact on who he wants as his general manager, and there will be certain owners that will give it to him, a la Shad Khan down in Jacksonville, if in fact that job comes open. We all think it's going to happen today. So I think it's about fit. I think it's about understanding the culture within the building. I know that Bob Kraft is super comfortable with Mike Vrabel. You know that. We all know that. So I would think that Ben Johnson is probably going to be looking elsewhere, but Chicago job is going to be also very, very coveted, but you're going to have to accept Ryan Poles as the GM, who I think has done a really good job with that roster. They just need somebody in there that is going to, unlock Caleb Williams' future, and I think that future is still very bright for him, and I think it's still very bright for the Bears. So he's got either Trevor Lawrence or Caleb Williams. I'm sure Ben Johnson could have either one of those jobs, and I think those jobs would present a better situation for him personally than maybe the Patriots.
Boomer, how much added pressure is there for the Crafts to hit this time, though, when it comes to Drake May and making sure that he doesn't find himself in a revolving door of coach situation where it could put him back in his development? Or am I overreacting there and Drake May, it's all on him to make sure that doesn't happen and affect his play?
No, I think a lot of it is on the player. You know, when I watched Joe Milton yesterday, and by the way, let me just tell you something. That guy is, he's got so much juice to him. It's ridiculous. And he showed that at the combine. I don't know why he fell in the draft at 6'5", 240 pounds, and could run a 4.5 40 and can throw the ball 80 yards in the air. That's what you call explosiveness, guys. I mean, you know, Shedeur Sanders doesn't have any of that explosiveness in his body. What he has is he has the ability to stand in the pocket. He's got a dad who was a Hall of Fame player. He's been around it his whole life, much like Patrick Mahomes was around Major League Baseball his whole life. And Shedeur has this, I guess, this sense that he belongs and he will belong and he will not be intimidated. And I just, you know, watching Joe Milton yesterday, and the reason I bring Joe up is because, you know, Joe has all the physical attributes that you want. Now, I hope this kid takes this offseason really seriously and he dedicates himself to his craft, as should Drake May. Both of them should. And I think the Patriots got a nice 1-2 punch right there. And you never know what happens with Joe Milton down the road. But I have to tell you, watching the ball come out of his hand yesterday, and I know it was against the Buffalo team that really wasn't playing for anything, but man, oh man, oh man, the guy is explosive. He's got a cannon for an arm.
They were playing to lose.
Yeah, I know they were. I know. And you know, there are a lot of teams that were playing to lose yesterday. Some teams did it better than others.
Like the Chiefs?
Like the Chiefs, like the Giants. You know, Brian Daboll was coaching his team. It was like going for it, 4th and 7 at the 50-yard line. You know they're not going to make it. Yeah. He's like, okay, go for it, guys. So there were some coaches that were doing some pretty obvious things yesterday.
I wanted to get your perspective on a bit of a kerfuffle that broke out on this show Friday when Patriots linebacker Jelani Tavai said that fans who boo at a sporting event should know their place and should not be critics. Where do you stand on that in general?
I'm with the fans, man, because I am a fan. And, you know, I'm a New York Ranger fan, and my team stinks right now, and I can't figure it out why. So I have gone to MSG, and I have booed. I'm sorry. You know, I'm a former player, so I've been the victim of boos, and I've actually booed players.
Okay.
Look, I never fight the fan base, never fight the mob. You can never win that one. These people spend so much money on this sport, and it's one of the reasons why these players make so much money these days. It's one of the reasons why these coaches make so much money these days. I know that it can be very frustrating for the player. I would just never, ever enter into the fray and start going after the fans, especially in the era of social media where the fans can get right to you and just absolutely eviscerate you. No matter how good you are, just remember, you got to be a politician at times and you got to appreciate the fans and what they do for us as former players and for the players of today.
Jelani was also mad with us when we were talking about the fact that fans wanted them to lose when it came to the game on Sunday to secure that number one overall pick. As a former player, when you're in a locker room, are there discussions that go on behind the scenes of, all right, the future, it's better for us to lose this one, or is that really difficult to do?
Nobody gives a crap about the future, especially the guys who are not going to be there. And anybody who wants to put something on tape to try to win a game, and so they could show that, you know, look, I could still play. The player has to go out and he has to play hard. Now, the coaches, that's a different story, and the GMs. They can decide to hold key players out like the Chiefs did yesterday. The Giants could make different crazy offensive calls like the Giants did yesterday that could affect the outcome of the game. They'll never admit that they are doing that so they can lose a game, the coaches or the GMs. But the players, when they're on the field, man, they're all competing. So I agree with Jelani in that part. Like, I understand the fan part of it. Like, they want the higher draft pick. They want to be able to get maybe Travis Hunter or somebody like that, which I still think they're going to have a really good shot at, or even a better, an edge rusher or a top-end receiver. So they'll have their chance to get what should be an impact player for next year. The other thing, with all the amount of money that they have, they should be able to go after somebody like T. Higgins, who would look great in a Patriot uniform, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
But I would say, like, you know, to go back to your original question, I mean, the players are not going to tank at all. That's just not in our brain. We don't think that way. We don't worry about next year. We only worry about the moment that we are on that football field.
Boomer, you brought up Ben Johnson and, you know, whether or not he would want to come to New England. Is there any chance that Mike Vrabel goes, maybe I don't want to go to New England after the way they treated Bill Belichick, the greatest coach of all time, then the way they treated Gerard Mayo, where they basically just gave him one and done, and they didn't give him a bunch of talent. If you're Vrabel, is there, like, real confidence that if it doesn't go the way that they expect in year one, that they wouldn't pull the plug on you?
Yeah, I think that Braves is sitting in a spot right now where he can pretty much write his contract. I think there are going to be a number of teams, at least three teams, that would really want him to be their head coach. So, you know, the Jets could go, you know, 5 years. The Patriots could go 6 years. Maybe the Raiders go 5 or 6 years. Maybe the Bears go 5 or 6 years. I mean, even if he gets fired after 1 year, believe you me, Wiggs, you and I would be more than happy to take that contract and get fired after 1 year and then just go on a cruise or something. you more than me. I'm not a cruise guy. I'm more of a cruise guy.
Yeah, the midnight buffet, it's hard to say no to the midnight buffet, though.
That's what I'm saying. He is definitely a buffet guy. There is no question
about it. Ain't nothing wrong with a good buffet, Boom. But the cruises tend to get a little bit wild and violent nowadays.
Okay. Well, you fit right in. But here's the thing, you know, I'm more of an a la carte guy because I'm a quarterback. I'm not into, you know, picking up somebody else's snot and spit. And you know, and the norovirus is going on right now. It's like the last thing I want to do is go to a buffet.
The noro's all over the place.
Yes.
Curtis? Boomer, this is Wiggy's position, and it's fine, and it's held by others that it was one and done and it was unfair. I just believe that Mayo was fired not because of how he coached, but because he was a disaster off the field in terms of walking back comments, all the things that he was supposed to be good at before he had this job, meaning he was in the media, know how to talk to the media, he was a defensive guy. Both of those elements of this organization have gotten worse since he got here.
Yeah, you know, it's a big seat to sit in, man, and until you sit in it, you don't realize how many different things are coming at you. And, you know, he'll learn from this. Maybe he'll have another opportunity somewhere along the line to become a head coach somewhere else. As bad as I feel for him, because in the beginning, you remember I was telling you, man, it really sounds like the players love this guy. And, you know, maybe he was still too close to the players. Maybe that's what the Kraft family saw. I'm not really sure. I still think this has to do with Mike Vrabel. I think that Bob Kraft did not want to see Mike Vrabel wearing green and white. Now, that could still happen, but... Yeah. I kind of feel like that's the motivation behind this, that, you know, if you're going to get Vrabel, you got to get him now and you can't wait. And it's a hard decision. I saw Bob Kraft's statement. I do believe it. I do believe that he had a really hard decision to make because, let's face it, Gerard was the, you know, he was the hand-picked successor to Bill Belichick. And you never want to be that guy. I swear to God, you never want to be that guy that comes after the great one. You want to be the guy that comes after the next guy.
Yeah.
And whoever gets this job, and if it is Mike Vrabel, he's going to be stepping into what I think is one of the best positions in terms of the NFL when it comes to money to spend in free agency and draft picks and draft capital.
Well, we'll get to hear how Robert Kraft explains that at 1 o'clock today. Question of the week for Boomer, brought to you by McFarland Energy, the region's most dependable provider of home heating oil delivery and expert HVAC services at McFarlandEnergy.com. Some called last night the most important regular season game of all time, Boomer. Do you agree or disagree?
I did call it that. And you have two 14-win teams. That's the first time that two teams with that many wins have met in the regular season. They were fighting for the number one seed or the number five seed in the NFC. There was a lot on the line last night, and I think Sam Darnold, unfortunately, was too amped up early in this game. He missed some wide-open throws. He had guys. He didn't play his best game, but, you know, the Lions are going to be really, really tough to beat in that building. So maybe this is finally the chance for the Lions to make it to the Super Bowl.
All right, and finally, is Aaron Rodgers retiring? Is he done?
I would say he's done with the Jets. You know, they were saying during the broadcast yesterday that he had told them that, you know, he wants a couple weeks off, he wants to relax, get away from everything, and then assess, you know, his future. He does not want to announce his retirement just yet. But is there a team out there that thinks they're a quarterback away, and do they want to bring him into that building? I would say that's like a, you know, 80-20 situation where they wouldn't want to do that.
All right, Boomer. By the way, I don't want to make your head any bigger yeah. If it's possible.
That's right.
Over my short break, I met Logan McGovern's brother at dinner.
Yes. Yeah.
And he could not stop talking about what you have done for CF. So a lot of credit to you, and pains me to say it, but great job by you.
I do appreciate that. It's been a labor of love for sure. It's been frustrating. It's been gratifying. It's been inspiring. And I got to tell you, there are a lot of people up there in the Boston area when I got started in this whole fight that really stepped up for us and have continued to step up for us over the years. And you know, DCU happens to be one of them, and they've been one of my longest standing partners in our fight against cystic fibrosis. So I didn't do it alone. I could tell you that I've enlisted thousands of people to support us, including your radio station, by the way.
Yes.
And I can't say enough about what everybody has given us as a family, and certainly us in the CF community, to give us a chance to have our kids finally outlive us and live a life that is productive, and it's full of all the trappings of family and kids and everything else like that. So I'm pretty proud of that.
Well, I hope we get to talk to you next week. If you're feeling generous, we'd love to have you on again next week.
Oh, absolutely. 100%. Okay. We got to get ready to get into the playoffs, and maybe by that time we'll know who's coaching the Patriots.
All right, Boomer, we'll talk to you in a week. Thanks.
Okay, guys. All have right. a great week. See you guys.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending now brought to you by Ortho Laser. The Patriots win their
Courtney, can we quickly, before we wrap from that interview, if you haven't seen the E60, Boomer Esiason, Gunnar Esiason on the cystic fibrosis battle, it is the best I have ever seen. And they do unbelievable work. There has never been a man who was dealt a hand that Boomer and his family was dealt that did more to change the trajectory of the history of a single disease than Boomer and his beyond courageous son, Gunner. It is spectacular.
Is that the one, too, where they go to college with him?
It's
and that you get to see what Gunner's roommates do with him to make sure that he's healthy
it's
and safe.
It's unbelievable.
It's unbelievable, sorry. Yeah. The Patriots win their season finale against the Bills 23-16. This win drops the Patriots from the first overall pick in the draft to the fourth. But the big news came just an hour after the win, when it was announced that Jerod Mayo was fired after just one season. There are reports that Alex Van Pelt may also be on the way out, but nothing has been confirmed there yet. We'll hear from Robert Kraft today at 1 p.m. in a press conference. And we now know the playoff schedule for next weekend. Starting on Saturday at 4:30, we have Chargers at Texans. Then at 8, we have Steelers at Ravens. On Sunday at 1, the Broncos are in Buffalo at 4:30. The Packers at Eagles at 8, Commanders at Bucks. And on Monday Night Football, it's Vikings at Rams.
Wow, great weekend of football starting, what, Thursday night?
Thursday night.
Yeah. Man. Yeah, I'll tell you, with college football playoffs, you just talked about that lineup.
Yeah. Yep.
Woo! Hey, Playboy, Parlay Playboy going to have to hit it big this weekend.
No, nope, I am going to sit right down and watch football as soon as the bread is made.
Yep.
Can't
what a
wait.
Nice, like, halftime little snack.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
When's it going to be ready?
I'll probably be kneading and stretching and folding throughout every single football game.
Yeah.
Gives me something to do.
So it won't be ready for the weekend then?
7 days of feeding. So we'll feed the starter for 7 days. So we started yesterday. Right. So
I just ordered Drizzly.
Monday night football.
Curtis,
you'll
don't
be good.
Do it. Don't do it. You've gone so long. Don't do it.
Monday night football, you'll be ready.
Monday? We'll be ready with some sourdough?
Yep.
Okay. Oh, that better not be store-brought.
The Bruins fell to the Islanders at home in overtime yesterday, 5-4 the final. Pasta did his best to keep them in this one. He scored 2 goals. They're off now until tomorrow. And the Celtics fell to the Thunder on the road yesterday, 105-92. Jason Tatum led the way with a double-double, 26 points, 10 rebounds. They take on the Nuggets tomorrow. And that was brought to you by Ortho Laser New England. If joint pain has you sidelined, do what Lou Merlone did. Get back in the game without surgery at Ortho Laser New England. Online at ortholaserne.com. That's what's trending. Here's Curtis with your weather.
Thank you, Courtney. And I once again apologize for the interruption. It's bothered many people in the Twitch chat.
Oh, that's okay.
It's 11 degrees is what it feels like outside.
Well, they need to know their place, those people, Curtis.
Women? Yeah. No.
They can be a fan. Just don't be a critic.
You better not. Well, Ken tried to do this about, we'll do it later. He was trying to rip me and Courtney when we were ripping Jelani Tavai on the Saturday show. But
really?
We can get to that later.
No, I didn't
a lot
that.
Of passive-aggressive stuff with Ken directed to Courtney.
Really?
Seems beneath a man of that position. Anyway, it's cold out. That's basically the bottom line.
Trending.